The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group. He's also the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure, Roger. I look forward to, is this going to be an open discussion today? Or are you going to limit our discussion?
Well, you only have, it's limited in the sense we do have to take commercial breaks,
okay,
right?
All right.
That sort of thing. And it's only an hour show, I know.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. And I guess maybe we'll start with the current focus on category management. The coalition just had our spring conference, April 28th, and much of the conference focused on category management, what it means for contractors, what it means for government. We had a great panel discussion with Ann Rung, Kevin Ewell Page, David Shields from ASI as well, and Rob Burton from Carl Mooring. So maybe I'll just ask you, what is category management, Bill?
Good question. Okay. I'll start with that.
Okay.
I think the intent here is from a commercial viewpoint, category management is basically breaking out segments of what a customer needs in regards to services, products, and solutions, and looking to categorize those segments of business and go to industry and with good data, customer data, and working to get a better bottom line, to get a better deal. And that, and it's just not price, it's for it should be total value,
right? And I guess the government GSA is reorganizing around categories, and the government's reorganized as well into 10 sort of categories with 10 different category managers, I guess, managing those areas. That sort of reflects trying to put things in buckets.
Yeah, and I think we had, I don't want to go too historical here, but when I was there, we went to commodity management. So that was breaking up the industry's identification, or I should say, not instead of breaking up, consolidating. So where we used to have the furniture center and a tool center, that was a form of I guess the fancy word today is category management. But
I know
commodity infers to products, so
commodity. Use plain language back then, right?
Excuse me, yeah.
Yes, right.
So now we're at a higher level. I may have a hard time here. But anyway,
okay.
But anyway, I think that the key here, and to your point, congratulations on your spring conference. It's a great turnout and great topics. And in the topic here, category management, it was great to have Ann Rung moderate the panel. David, having come from the David Shields, having come from the UK and with the ASI and his background, to go over his experience of the initial implementation rollout in the UK, which I think took, several years, if I remember his point. And I think the key around all of this, Roger, and it's no surprise to you or the listeners if procurement's not sexy, all right?
No,
we're getting a little nerdy here.
To most of us.
Yeah, right, but you got to know your requirements.
Yes.
I mean, it's that fundamental, and it's no different than our life. You know, we're looking at getting a roof on, and you wouldn't know how many variances there are to getting a quote just for a single, residential roof, all right? So you can take that and extrapolate that across all of government and all of its needs. And requirements is essential to understanding whether you're getting a good deal or not at the end of the day when you have a task order or purchase order or RFP, RFQ, however you're facing the market, to go out and say, this is what I'd like for you to do. Give me your solution for it. Well, it depends on how well you define your requirements.
Right, Right. Well, to that point, I think one of the big focuses of category management, or even David Shields talking about it, is the importance of data. And to know to buy better, you got to know what you spend. So I want to get your thoughts on data, because it's interesting. You had an interesting article in Federal Computer Week about category management and analyzing that data. And what did you take?
Well,
and what we heard at the conference as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly a connection between what he said at the conference and his article, Roger. So I think that the key takeaway is how the federal government is looking to implement, or one of the implementation areas of category management is, and a big part of it is around data. Data is a historical pattern of buying. And I think the UK, I thought it was kind of interesting. His article indicated that they had less data than FPDS had, accurate. But I found it interesting that while the government currently is moving towards the position of, we want to collect ordering data from all of its contractors, and particularly from a schedule standpoint, there's almost 19,000 companies, contractors, I should say. And to pull all that data in is not as easy as pushing a button and getting to GSA all this government-wide ordering data and all the specific elements within an order that would be of interest. But he being David Shields, when they were UK, I found really intriguing that they hired a third party to get in and actually look at real-time finance data associated with the orders.
Right, internally, he described it as accounts payable data. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, accounts payable data, internal government data.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there had to be, to make that decision, he's not here today to ask the question, but I think it's relevant.
I need to have him on the show.
You should. Yeah. Save this question, bookmark it. Okay. But anyway, but I think what will be interesting is that, while they had a large contractor base as well, this is not a commercial practice, and
when you talk to... You mean the collecting from contractors?
Yeah, because there's certain data elements that some companies collect and other companies may not collect the same elements, and it's not for... It's for what works best for the company. And for one, number one. Number two is, what's the cost of it? If you have money to invest in that aspect of that, capturing that data as a company, then you're going to go for it. If you don't, your small to mid-sized companies are really going to be impacted by this, not in a favorable way. And I think that's a real concern.
Right. Well, it's interesting too that at the end of the day, but for using and analyzing that accounts payable data, they wouldn't have had the success that they had. According, at least that's what I'm taking from one of the lessons learned here.
And I think a segue. I know you've written on it. A piece on it.
Right. What, on the transactional data modernization project, the proposed idea that the new technology transformation service take on the transactional data project internally for government as a good government project. You're talking about that, Bill?
I actually do read your articles.
Oh, do you? Okay.
So anyway, I think the your idea there, and I know members had spoken to you on it. Picked right up on it when GSA had created the third service, or looking to create the third service. Essentially, 18F is how a lot of people would identify with it currently. But to have them take on the project, there is people say, well, how do you fund it? There is a GSA industrial funding,
right?
A fund out there, revolving fund.
Services fund. Yep.
So that would be one way of GSA really stepping up and taking a significant leadership role. I mean, they're in a leadership role now. There's no question about it. But this would be a significant opportunity for them to be all in on category management, not only from the data side, but recognizing that the federal government is a big customer, right? Very diversified base. And you also have elements of the government who don't want to have their requirements reported for the intel community, as an example.
Sure. Yep. Okay. Well, it's interesting. It seems to me this would provide an opportunity for GSA working with agencies to identify what information really is relevant to acquisition planning and requirements development, and figuring out how to manage that, compile it, and analyze it internally. Nobody's arguing that the government shouldn't look at its own data. It's the issue has always been the methodology by which they were going to try to get that data and whether it made economic sense and was a commercial practice.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about the value of category management. We can just check that box. All right. And I think what we're looking at is going ahead, and the implementation side is the real heartburn.
All right. Well, Bill, we got to take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the highlights from the conference. And also maybe also get your take on this new service, that the Technology Transformation Service. GSA now has three services again. And I think when I started at GSA, it had three services. It's funny how it's back to the future, right?
Deja vu. Right. All right. Here we go.
All right. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He is the president of Gormley Group, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group. He also serves as the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, I think we talked category management, although a lot of the conference was focused on category management. Do you have any other interesting takeaways from the conference that you'd want to share?
Well, I think category management was the the main one, but there's a lot of you had a lot of breakout sessions, Roger, and I know there was a couple common threads throughout the breakouts was that while I think GSA is in a very good position, positioned itself very nicely to increase its services throughout government, was there in the commitment. I'm kind of seeing it, since the pretty much shutdown of travel and government based on, the Las Vegas event. I think we're seeing or hearing and seeing an actual more participation by, federal employees throughout government. And I thought it was interesting this week, I saw where Ashton Carter actually was concerned and took a position that he wants, the DOD employees to actually travel more to conferences professional training. And, I know he got into the R&D side and the physicists and the scientists, but also overall, where DOD can learn from its partners, meaning either internal government or its industry base, that they should definitely be out more. And, he put an edict out, I think it was October or November of 2015. And his recent article was he's very disappointed by the lack of increase in travel.
Right.
And some services are still pretty
apparently
much
like a lot of memos that didn't flow down very right.
Yeah. Well, that's, welcome to a bureaucracy. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's all about communication continuously. So,
well, to your point, I'm after the show, I'm going to be catching a plane. I'm heading down to Huntsville, Alabama for a big GSA training event for procurement training event for customer agency contracting professionals, as well as a lot of industry folks as well getting training. I've signed up for training all day and all day tomorrow. All day Wednesday as well.
Yeah. So kudos to GSA and hopefully the government. It's a built-in customer base right there.
Yes.
So
yep.
I think the travel.
NASA's right there, Redstone Arsenal.
I think the travel expense is shoe leather at that point. But
exactly. That's part of the point, right?
Yeah, right. And so, kudos to GSA. I think there'll be lessons. Hopefully GSA will look at it as a lesson learned that there's a thirst out there for training. And hopefully the customer base displays that by having a good turnout.
Yep.
And obviously someday it'd be great to see GSA open itself up to a full-fledged, whether they call it GSA Expo or not, something on the same scale as that, because it is really, the void in training is pretty significant when you end up talking both from an industry, because it cuts both ways. It's training for industry as well as
yes, absolutely
training with its industry partners as well as training with its customer base from a GSA's perspective. And there's a huge ROI on having this. So hopefully this is a good step forward on opening it up and having having a central conference once again.
Right. So while we're still talking about GSA, well, we're going to keep talking about GSA today. Yeah. But, you know, any thoughts on the new service? We mentioned it in the last segment, the technology transformation service, and, you know, maybe the other take on data modern transactional data modernization. But you have any other thoughts of the because again, we're back to three services where there were two before, PBS and FAS. And it harkens back to a earlier time when there were three services.
Yeah, the FTS, right?
FTS, FSA. FSS. You remember, yeah, it's hard for you to say that, isn't it, right?
It
FTS,
is, really.
as an FSS guy, and PBS back in the day.
That's fine. Hey, listen, here at the end of the day, I'm sure the intentions are very good for moving them together. I'm not sure if they're looking at lessons learned from it or if it's an evolution of a new way of bringing modernization from a technology standpoint in government, and this other element is necessary to do that. You know, there's going to be opposing opinions on everything. You know, anybody married knows that, and that's a good thing. All right. But the key here is, you know, some people view it as, hey, it's going to confuse the customer. I read some articles on that. And I think it's just how does GSA, it kind of gets back to what we just finished talking about, Roger, training. GSA is going to have a good marketing message on who we are, and what we offer, and how we offer it, and how you can get access to who we
right.
are,
and how it's
we
making
do.
A difference.
Yes,
right.
I mean it's got to be key. That is going to be essential. It just can't be a one and done announcement and think everybody. I mean, there's still people in the government that haven't heard of GSA, and that's not a. It's just reality.
It's
you get
life.
New people
yep.
come
yeah.
in every day. So
where you work?
That's yeah. right. So I mean, so I think it's. You know, hey, you know, if the decision's made, try it out. You know, if you need to, you know, hopefully they'll adjust it as they move forward if they need to. That'll be the whole key.
Right. You know, and I guess one of the things right to that would be what are the performance metrics for the organization to be able to assess, you know. And that's an interesting thought, too, because, you know, you hear Steve Schooner talk all the time, like we measure all the wrong things. You know, yeah. the things that are very objective, like how much was paid, you know, did it come in on time? And never really get to the what ultimately is customer satisfaction.
Right.
You know, did you get what you really wanted, and did it work?
And that's the utopia. I mean, everybody, whether it's government, or, you know, our personal lives, all that. So it's just being vigilant throughout the whole acquisition process and bringing the customer in. And I think you know we talked earlier about the spring conference. Yeah, there was another common theme. You know, we said one was training, the need for it. You know, the other one is just getting the acquisition folks and the project management folks together more often. And Anne Rung may have mentioned that.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's essential to do that. I think Rob Burton as well, based on his OMB experience, OFPP experience.
Right.
So, you know, there's a recognition of getting the program management side in here. It has just been very difficult to do that throughout government.
Right. I think what's Ray Bjorklund described it as two tribes, right? The program managers versus the acquisition folks.
And, yeah. I mean, you know, the program people are operations, and I'm sure they wish they could provide a clearer definition of requirements, but sometimes things just happen and they need it right away, or they just, you know, there's other things throughout their day. So they looked at the acquisition folks to get it done.
Right.
And that's where confusion.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to stand on requirements. I'm going to throw out because there's been a lot of press recently about LPTA, just with some big DOD procurements, Encore 3, which I guess is under protest. You know, and that goes to LPTA, it goes to requirements development at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I think when it, you know, Frank Kendall put out his, was it Better Buying Power?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is where the needle went too far as being so specific or being interpreted in such a narrow way. You know, the fun part at least for me when I was in contracting, was the opportunity to make decisions and to be thoughtful and creative. And you have a lot of latitude as a contracting officer. Everything has to be legal. We get all that, but you know, you're allowed to use judgment and document it, and you know, doing what you're doing is the best interest of the government and the taxpayer. You know, we can head down that apple pie line, but it's all true. And I think here, you know, we get the LPTA. It went too far.
To his credit, I think they've recognized it, and they've tried to issue some supplemental guidance along the lines of what you just described, making good business decisions.
Right. So, you know, I think he experienced the same thing Ashton Carter had about travel. You know, Frank Kendall puts out his like correct course correction, like this is and being more definitive. And I think but it hasn't gotten down as far as a lot of people would like. So, you know, I think, you know, LPTA, you know, it has that stigma now, you know, low price technically acceptable, that it's cheap, you right. know, and I think that's the government. There are ways of get a reasonable price, fair and reasonable. Well, you're a lawyer here, right, so can I turn this around on you a little bit?
Okay.
You know, it's fair and reasonable.
We do have to take a break, Bill. We're up on the next break. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group, chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And Bill, when we come back, we'll get into a little bit some e-buy statistics and where the schedules are headed. Again, you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group, and also chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, you know, I know one of the things that's near and dear to your heart is the GSA Schedules Program or the Federal Supply Schedules. And I know you've been looking at some interesting data.
Reported by GSA.
Yeah, absolutely, which is a good thing. What have you been looking at?
Well, I think so far this year, I mean, the schedules, GSA is communicating more about, you know, the sales side through the schedules program, and that they're seeing, you know, an improvement in sales. It's kind of get back to, I think it was 2012 or something like that, that they're looking to get back to from a sales level. And that's through the sequestration and other things that have been going on. And the schedules is kind of taking a hit from, you know, how much more can you ask of your industry partner without some form of consideration. And in view of all that, the schedules is still showing an increase. I mean, I'm looking at the RFQ. GSA just put a report out, you know, just the RFQs that have been issued against the schedules this year. I mean, government fiscal year, there were 37,000 RFQs. You think about it, Roger, that's a lot. And over 7,600, you know, in the month of April, you know, last month. So, you know, there's a lot of eyeballs on the schedules program. And I think that when you get into, we talk LPTA, I mean, people are seeing a value of using it. And in my whole, you know, affinity, if you want to call it, for the schedules program, is just, it's commercial. You know, a government always wants to be as much commercial as possible. And this thing just breathes commercial, and the opportunity to get commercial solutions and get the commercial latest products and technology in front of the government without writing. I mean, we were involved in writing specifications one day for copy paper, for pencils. I mean, we're so far beyond that now. Okay. And so when you start looking at possibly moving to more of a restrictive way of buying in the government, I mean, there could be some value to that. But on the other hand, you still want the versatility of the government program having access for consideration purposes and nothing else to getting the latest technology. Right. And the schedules host that ability.
Right. So, who, those RFQs, you said 37,000 were issued. Mm-hmm. One would expect the IT center, Schedule 70, would be have the most RFQs. It's the biggest schedule in terms of volume.
If this was a show, if this was a reality show, I'd go, wrong.
Okay.
Hey. So it's the, Region 7 has the most.
That's Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, excuse me. Right. Thank you for breaking up
the government. I don't know what the actual correct title is. I'm too old. Go by the numbers. That's easier.
That's over 1,600. And then the IT, to your point, you know, is close with over 1,400. And then the Furniture Center with over 1,200.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of commodities in there as well as services, but it's a lot of that's commodity driven. So, again, it's, you know, particularly when you get into the any industry within those three market segments could indicate, hey, we're special. But, you know, there's a lot of configuration opportunities on the system side. You know, furniture just jumps right out at you that, you know, with the configurations. And when you get into, you know, we're going to overlap. But when you get into the furniture side, Roger, with all the variations of all the extra parts to build a systems furniture, to build a little work surface, you know, there is no standardization, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's intended that way. It's not intended to be standard per se. And I think GSA is trying to reach some standardization. And my last encounter with this was back in the 70s.
Okay.
And it was Office Excellence. And it wasn't very
Office Excellence. So tell me about Office Excellence.
I'm not going to do that to our viewers.
Okay. Yeah. The 1970s.
Turn the sound down or something. But anyway, it did not work. It was standardization. And it was a cattle call. It made everything look the same. And everything was in red, which was unbelievable colors. But, you know, with that.
Were red, white, and blue.
No, red.
Okay. So it sort of went the way of disco.
Right, there you go. I mean, let's not go there. So, but the point is, you can over standardize is the point, and you know, it's, you just can't. You know what it's like to go through a neighborhood where all the houses are built the same, and after a while, you know, it just there's no creativity. There's no, you know, everybody's going to start changing things over time, and I think that's where. When it starts out, there's very good intentions, but I would just, you know, just kind of warn here or put out there for consideration, to standardize, you know, offices, you can give a template, but it's very difficult to have success in long-term success, I should say, in that. So, and the other one is,
when you're talking standardization, you're talking about requirements, right? And who's the requirements holder and, so is it, to me, standardization sort of what you've described sort of as a top down approach as opposed to a bottom up, like the bottom being the requirements holder, the actual person who's going to be sitting in the chair or in that particular office or that organization,
you know,
which could be in, you know, Santa Fe, New Mexico or wherever.
Yeah, I'm sort of getting too personal in this interview here. So, yeah, I talked about our roof right at home. Now I can talk about we actually remodeled our office recently, and is a small office compared to a government agency by far, okay?
Yeah.
And with that, the company sent in three people, you know, two designers for different skill sets and then the salesperson. So there's a cost to all this. And so maybe from GSA's perspective, and everything's a little custom and not custom based on preference, but it's just, you know, want people to feel like they want to come to work and they want to have a little personal touch to where they spend the predominance time away from, you know, their loved ones and, you know, their family.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So I think that affects productivity. So, I think at the scale where we are is nothing compared to an agency. There's so many variables in there. So that's what gets back to standardizations. I've personally been through so many standardizations on copiers and we tried to do the schedules years ago on good, better, and best, follow the Sears format of tools, and that didn't work. I mean, so a lot of lessons learned, a lot of scars, and a lot of reality is at the end of the day, you know, while we talk about better requirements, the customer, you know, when you push it all aside, the customer can make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And that's on quality and price. And I think that's where I kind of come from. Not, you know, reducing things down to a point where there's no thought involved in it.
Right.
In selecting it. So.
Well, another place of standardizing is the standard work configurations for laptops, desktops. And the flip side of that is like demand identifying, you know, NASA SUB, CIO CS, and IT Schedule 70 as the mandatory sources for, you know, I think it's they identified as a $1.1 billion market for laptops and whatnot. Have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think I think Anne Rung put that out, and I think the and she can speak for it obviously, but I think the overall intent is, hey federal market, just be aware that there may be opportunities where you have what may be a generic need for your IT, you know, tabletop needs, that this is a configuration that may be of interest to you, and therefore, you know, she directed it to the procurement platforms you just mentioned, with, you know, with the GWAX and the schedules program. So I think that that's probably, if you're going to do that, that's probably the kind of, be interesting to see what the results are on
that.
I mean, let's just leave it that way and then we'll find out. But hey, give her credit. You know, she put it out there. I know she took some heat from it, but now we'll see from a customer standpoint, you know, what the impact is.
Right. And on that note, Bill, we have to take our last break. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group, chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's the president of the Gormley Group. And Bill, so we are sitting here and it's May 9th, the 10th, something like that. I lose track of the days. It's May 10th. You know, that means the election's only 6 months away, just a little less than 6 months now.
You got an election this year?
Yeah, actually, okay. I know you haven't been following.
Yeah, I can pay attention.
Right. As someone who goes back to office excellence in the 1970s in the federal government, you've been through several transitions, and both as at a, you know, when you first start out your career, but also when you were at very senior levels in government in your career. And you know, I just wonder if you have any thoughts, observations, and or even what expectations what people go through, what the government goes through in dealing with. And I know GSA plays a pretty central role in the logistics of transition.
Well, I've seen where the current administration has actually put out you know, an objective to make this, you know, a very similar transition to what they experienced, and to limit the, wherever possible, disruptions. And hey, listen, there's going to be, just by nature of the election, current election going, you know, that we're seeing exposed to right now, what's going back between the various parties, you know, that's somewhat of an example of what goes on inside. And although everybody walks around the hallways smiling at each other, but both parties are there, you know, and I think everybody, you know, wants to win. And they want, you know, when this thing all boils down, all, you know, down to the design of their webpage for the White House on the day of the ceremony, you know, 1 second is going to flip one party or the other. And so, you know, everybody wants everything ready. So there's, you know, there's that process, which is pretty, pretty intense. GSA, you know, has had this responsibility for a number of years. And I think is well suited, you know, to handle it. And I think it's, I think with the consolidation, I think they're actually going to host these in the GSA building, 18th and F. So I don't know, maybe 18th and F could be a part of this, right?
That could be
interesting. Now okay. We thought that's kind of they could work both parties here one time.
Right.
So, okay. But I think it's you know, it's just going to be high energy. A lot of people, a lot of things are going to be going on. A lot of you know, one time, a lot of employees and or people that were hired for the transition team were not old enough to rent a car, and that was a big deal. I mean, we had a lot of different, because you had to be like 26 or something like that. I don't know if that's still the case, but that was part. So I mean, you're always going to have these little, and I'm sure the phones are going to come into play, and all the government property, and how, you know, some things don't get, you know, hey, you're on the legal side, so you've heard or been involved with cases that had to be settled, you know, 2 or 3 years after the election, of where things occurred through protests and stuff like that. So there's always this side party that we see of things that have to get resolved. But, you know, it's exciting time, and we're going to find out, I don't know, 4 or 5 months what's going to happen, right? So then that's getting it started, and you know, it really is going to take off. So, you know, it's just going to be, at the end of the day, the shorter answer is there's going to be no change. It's going to be hectic. Okay, so I mean,
it's a little bit busier.
A little bit busier. Yeah. Yeah, GSA is just going to be feeling it in a lot of different way. If it's for anybody that's been in their first interface with this type of change.
So, you know, I thinking about it, this is a question sort of out of the blue, Bill.
And here we go.
You know, when you were back at GSA during the 90s in particular, you know, he had the National Performance Review, Government Reinvention, Hammer Awards, all that kind of stuff to try to reform a government, you know, not just procurement, but across the board, the operation of government. Do you think, number one, the time is right for that? And, you know, what do you think the prospects-wise, you know, post-election, whether that's something that you could foresee, you know, either of the candidates tackling?
Yeah, I mean, I think the initiative of reinventing government, was designated to the manager of that was the vice president.
Yeah.
So Gore. So at that time, so at least it had an identity to it. Trying to see how far to go with this. So part of it was from a personal management standpoint, having the opportunity to been fortunate to be in senior management. You know, my personal objective was to provide the leadership to maximize as many things we could change that we've always wanted to change. Yeah. So it wasn't just that, hey, we're going to reinvent government. Think of an idea. We had the ideas. There was just so many impediments. And to be honest, we just blew by the impediments, and we had buy-in, you know, from a customer base standpoint. We reached out. Can we talk names here, people?
It's up to you.
But I mean, you know, we had Jim Williams, who was later came back to GSA. I mean, we actually had business meetings and with him and Rothwell, Greg Rothwell. And so we used to meet in the person from Social Security. So, you know, we took some hard hits, you know, initially.
Yeah.
But we learned from our customers. I mean, we're willing. We didn't want the customer to hold back anything. And they didn't. And from that, internally, we got a lot of change, you know, changes made, and we put them under the umbrella of reinvent government.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of
you had your checklist already.
We always kept it. And then the government today should continue to work to continuous, I hate to use the word continuous or the term continuous improvement, but hey folks, if you're not continuing to improve, whether it's our personal lives or professional lives, and there's, you know, what value are we bringing every day?
Right. Well, you know, do you think one of the lessons from that effort was the fact that they did, you know, Vice President Gore was identified as a leader of it? And there seemed to me, because it seemed to me there was this sort of almost empowerment of people to say, hey, like, what would you, if you could start over, or if you could do what you could do right now, what things would you eliminate to make your job easier, to deliver better, whatever it was?
Yeah, but we talked about a couple earlier in the show, Roger, a couple instances, both happened to be DOD, but DOD is a huge organization.
Yeah.
We talked about Ashton Carter putting word out.
Right. Go to his conferences.
Didn't happen. Yeah, it hadn't happened. At least to his satisfaction.
Right.
And you have Frank Kendall's like LPTA. I don't really just focus on price. And that's just, that's, while it's a large part of government, but in overall government, you know, you have to have leadership not at the top level, but throughout.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I think we kind of caught fire, so to speak. And in particularly from a regional standpoint, you know, there's always the regional central office rub, whether it's government,
GSA,
government, but it's
it could be any organization.
Yeah. And so we worked really hard to make sure everybody was in on it and everybody had something to say. And there was changes that, you know, were pretty significant, you know, and we reduced the depots by 26, and I don't want to get in all the metrics, but there's a lot of change.
Change is hard work. Most people don't want to change.
It affects people, and I think from a management standpoint, you have to recognize that and address it for those people and be willing to take their questions and answers. And that's not you know, everybody's not happy, but as long as you can support your rationale behind it, I think, to your point, is government ready for that type of move again? I'd say absolutely.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Bill, I want to thank my guest, Bill Gormley, president of the Gormley Group, chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.